Erica's life, well, her adventure started with a very simple text message. It was from her daughter, Jenna, and it read like this. Mom, please bring my backpack to school. I forgot it. And so Erica, she makes her way into her daughter Jenna's bedroom, braves her way into her 14-year-old daughter's bedroom, and starts looking around for the backpack that her daughter would normally take to school with her. And she finds it, kind of buried under some stuff, of course, and picks it up. And as she does, she hears something that gets her attention. And then she picks it up, and she sees in one of the side pockets of the backpack, there's a kind of a glint of light coming off of some plastic, like a Ziploc bag. She just, you know, out of curiosity, opens up the pouch and finds a bag filled with pills. What kind of pills are these? Erica thinks to herself. Where did Jenna get these pills? What are they used for? She thinks. She knows that they're going to have a conversation later that day. So she spends the rest of that day kind of worrying about that conversation in anticipation of it. Well, a little bit later that same day, as Jenna comes home, Jenna comes into the house, doesn't say anything, and then goes off to her bedroom. And Erica can hear her shuffling around in her room like she's looking for something. And she knows now's probably the time to have the conversation. So with the bag of pills in hand, she comes over to Jenna's bedroom. What are these? She asks. You've been snooping in my stuff, says Jenna. What are these? Erica says. Pills, but it's no big deal. They're like all natural. They're herbal. What kind of pills are these? Mom, don't freak out. I already told you they're not prescription or anything. They're just over the counter, like I think they're all natural. Don't freak out. I'll decide who's going to freak out and who's not going to freak out. What kind of pills are these? They're diet pills. Where did you get them? From a kid at school? But don't freak out. They're no big deal. How did you get them? Well, Mom, there's this a kind of fat girl at school, and she's not very popular, and so the popular girls, they kind of made a deal with her that they'd sit next to her in cafeteria, and in exchange for them sitting next to her, that she'd give them all the pills that she gets from her mom so that the girls can have the pills when they need the pills for energy. And Erica, her mind is just buzzing. Why is my daughter talking like this? Why is she thinking like this? Why is she treating other people like this? But Jenna, you're one of the popular girls. Are you treating another student for this? What are you doing? Mom, it's not a big deal. It's just diet pills. You don't understand. I'm under a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure to perform, and these pills, if I'm having a hard day, or I just need some energy, or I need to stay up late to do homework, I just like take two or three or four, and then I just have lots of energy, and I can think, and I can do all sorts of stuff. And you always tell me that I'm supposed to get good grades. You always wanted me to do this. And so I'm just doing, isn't this what you always wanted? And Erica can see that Jenny's eyes are starting to tear up, like she's just really feeling the pressure. And so Erica's thinking, okay, all right, she's getting getting the severity of this, I know what to say. So Erica puts her arm around Jenna and says, Jenna, honey, all your dad and I really want is for you to be happy. We just want you to try your best and do your best. And honey, you don't need to feel all that peer pressure because you're fine just the way you are. We love you no matter what, just the way you are. Honey, don't feel all those things. You don't need to conform to all that stuff. You just don't. You're wonderful and perfect just as you. Let's hug. And just as she's moving in on the hug, Jenna says, don't you dare try to tell me that kind of stuff because I know full well that you don't believe it. I see the way you live. I see how you do things, Mom. I see all the money you spend on all that useless stuff, all of the diets that you start and stop, that drawer full of cosmetics that promise to make you look young. I have no idea how much money you spend on that stuff. All the things that you do, all the gadgets you buy just to keep up with your friends because you think if your friend has one, then you need to have one too. Or how you and Dad, you buy a new car like every couple of years so that everybody in the neighborhood thinks that you're doing well. But at the same time, I hear you fighting about the money. I am not stupid. I have ears. I know what you're talking about. And so here you are spending all this money on all this stuff, and at the same time you're complaining privately you don't have enough money to give to charity, and you're not giving enough even to things like college savings. I'll stop taking the pills if that's what you want me to do, and if that'll make you happy, but don't you dare try to feed that lie to me because you are such a hypocrite. Well, that wasn't exactly what Erica had anticipated hearing from her daughter. So she kind of went through the parental response list in her head, and she thought, go to your room. I am in my room. Well, you're grounded. I'm going to my room. And she did. And so Erica sat on the side of her bed, looking at the bag of her daughters. And she just felt empty, you know? She's thinking, I try so hard. We do so many things. We sacrifice so hard as a family. We work so hard as a family just to give our kids a good life, you know? And is this what it amounts to? I mean, and she's realizing that a lot of the things her daughter said about her are actually completely true. She's wondering about that for herself. Like, have I not matured at all since junior high? She thinks. And she just felt empty and lost. You ever feel that way? You know, just things get really quiet. You kind of examine your own heart. Ever just sort of feel that way? I do. You know, there's times when I think and I just kind of review my own life and I just go, there's points where I'm disappointed in me. It's not that I hate myself. It's not that I don't, you know, like who I am or think I'm just a nothing or anything, but there's times I'm really disappointed with me. Like, why is it that if I've had a hard day at work, maybe I've been frustrated about something hasn't gone quite right, or the way I anticipated it to go, and I'm frustrated and I come home, and the kids are just kind of messing around, just being kids, that I get frustrated with them, even though it has nothing to do with them? Why is that? What's going on in my heart? Why is it that I still think far too much about what the people around me think of me? And I worry about whether or not they like me or accept me. Why is that? What is that? Even though I want to be someone that is so focused on God that I care mostly about what God thinks of me and who He has made me to be and what He's called me to do. I want that, but I still think about what other people think about me. Why is that? Or I live right smack dab in the middle of the richest human culture ever known in human history. And I still think I don't have enough stuff. And I feel deprived. What I want to feel gratitude. I want to feel contentment. I kind of think I should. But very often I don't. Why is that? What's up with that? Why is it that very often, when I'm really honest about my own intentions, my first thought is often to, you know, to me and my own, making certain that, you know, we've got enough, our family has enough, I've got enough. And so my thoughts end up being often, some more often than I'd like to admit, self-centered, selfish, stingy. When I want to be generous, I want to be selfless, and yet I think mostly about me and my own. Why is that? What's up with that? It's like there's a gap between the me that I am and the me that I want to be, or at least I kind of on some level think I could be or should be. There's a gap. There's this distance. Why is that? But you know, I don't think I'm alone in that. I don't think I'm the only one that feels that stuff. I think many people, we feel a distance, a gap between the person that we are when we make an honest assessment of what's going on in our heart. There's a gap between that and the person that we know we're supposed to be, or somehow feel like we could be or it should be. There's a distance. It's a void. I can't always say what it is. You know, I can't really describe it exactly normally. I just recognize its absence in those moments where I'm really honest, or in those moments where life just throws a situation at me and I realize that my stuff is exposed. What is that? Why is that? The Bible talks about how that distance, that gap, is a spiritual hunger, a spiritual thirst. It's a longing for God. It's one of the ways that we recognize that we need God. In fact, that distance, that awareness of that gap, is something that God put in us to point us back to Him. That sense of longing, that sense of spiritual thirst. Because, you know, I want my life to be fruitful. I want to be patient. I want to be kind. I want to be generous. I want to be selfless. I want to be brave. I want to have what the Bible calls fruit in my life. Like, for example, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 puts it this way. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. I missed that one first time. And self-control. The things that I want for my life, but very often I see a void in. Do you ever feel that way? Well, the good news for all of us today is that Jesus talked about that. And he actually set up, he told us the process for growing in those kind of ways, to have honest heart character growth. Writes about it in John chapter 15, including verse 5, which you already know. John 15, chapter 1, we're going to read from verse 1 through verse 8 and talk about it a little bit. So Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. remain in me, as I also, what's the word? Remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must, what's the word? Remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Since branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Remain in me, Jesus says. Remain in me. Some translations put it, abide in me. Get connected and stay connected to Jesus. Remain in me. Abide in me. Stay connected to me. Isn't it funny how the things that we often try to make ourselves grow in character, how they don't work? Like, we often try the whole self-effort thing. Like, just, I will try harder. Tomorrow, I will be more patient. I will. But you know I won't. Right? We try so hard for these things. And the harder we try, the less it happens. Or we do the whole guilt thing. I am such a loser. I am such a loser. You know? And we beat ourselves up over the things that we can't do, and yet that doesn't solve anything either. But we try it. You've probably done both those things. Notice, this will get some of your attention, Jesus doesn't even say to pray about it. Like, God, fix me right now. Please. Amen. That's not it. Now, prayer might be a part of it, but that even itself isn't the solution. Jesus said, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it puts it this way. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, be changed. I always think of Transformers. Remember those? Back in the 80s, little toys. Transformers. More. Okay. Be transformed by the, what's the word? Renewing of your mind. That as we think new thoughts, as our lives get saturated with the words of Christ, the thoughts of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the actions of Christ, as our lives get and stay connected to Christ, we will be transformed. And then we will be able to test and approve what God's will is. We'll know what He wants us to do. And we'll be able to live it out. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you remain in me, Jesus says, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Our lives can be different. The reason why we've got this sense of longing and ache in our heart, even though we're not ever going to get all the way there, we can grow. Our character can grow, but here's the good news. You can't do it. You can't do it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can't do it. But Jesus in you can. You can't do it. But Jesus in you can. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. That's a promise from God. That's a promise from Jesus. Our lives can be different. We can be more patient, more kind, more good, more generous, more caring, more self-controlled, more faithful. We can. As we remain in Christ, as we abide in Him. In the next 10 weeks, we're going to be looking at some of the habits, the practices that Christians have done over the centuries to stay connected to Christ on a day-to-day basis. You know, practices like prayer, practices like scriptural meditation, practices like radical honesty, practices like uncluttering our lives, the discipline of simplicity. And the reason why people have done this for thousands of years, literally thousands of years, is because for many, they find that these practices help us stay connected to Christ. And one of the things that we need to be really careful to guard against as we think about those practices don't change you. Not on their own. I mean, memorizing scripture or trying to simplify your life, that's nice, it's great, and do it, but those things on their own don't change you. It's our abiding with Jesus that does. But those practices can help us stay on a day-to-day basis connected to Christ, aware, consciously aware of His work in our lives, what He's trying to do in us and through us. And in that, we can be changed. Scripture promises that we can and we will be changed. So I want to challenge you, maybe double, possibly triple dog dare, not sure yet, to think about having some practices in your life that on a regular, day-to-day basis, you stay connected to Christ. Practices like, number one, worship. Like coming to church every time you can on Sundays. Every time you can. Because these public acts of worship are important. They're a way of keeping our heart renewed, keeping our thoughts centered on Christ. There's also private acts of worship. Of taking time, some quiet time each week to just get alone with your thoughts and with God. To open up the Bible and let it speak to you. Private acts of worship. You know, maybe if it's as simple as putting a Christian radio on and kind of singing along with it, or if you're so bold, just singing without any other stuff around you. Something, ways of turning our hearts and our thoughts back to God. That's one way. Another way is by getting connected to other Christians. You know, in the bulletin this week, you've got these connection groups. We've got a bunch. Can't count real fast. A bunch of connection groups, all sorts of different days, all sorts of different topics, different demographics, different locations. A lot of options. But show me the Christian that is trying to live an individual faith, and I'll show you the Christian that's stuck in their faith and hasn't grown in a long time. Notice how Jesus said, "I'm the vine, you are the branches." Those branches are plural. You're not the only branch. You need other branches. You need other believers in your life. That's why we do connection groups. Now, it's not the only way to connect to other Christians, but it's a very good way. To get into a group of 10 to 20 people and on a regular basis, just talk about what's going on in your life. Just talk about your thoughts. It doesn't mean because you get in a group you're necessarily going to find your bestest buddy for all time, your big BFF or whatever. But it does mean that you're being in an environment where you get a chance to talk to some other Christians and maybe some deep friendships will form. So get connected. I would urge you. You know, if you see a group in here and you just go, I could meet on Wednesday nights. Well, there's four groups that meet on Wednesday night. If there's a topic that interests you or you look around the room and you see a face and you go, Debbie looks friendly. Circle it. You put your name on the card and you put it in the offering plate and we can take some steps to get you connected to that group. Get connected. Don't live a Lone Ranger Christianity. Thirdly, so we grow through acts of service. We grow as we apply what we have learned. In the connection groups, there's opportunities to serve, whether that's in the community or inside the church's network of ministries. There's opportunities to serve. Find some place where you can apply the things that God is doing in your life so that you can share it with other people. It's like weightlifting. You know, you go into a gym, you've got to lift some weight for the muscle to grow. Service is like that. It's lifting the weight. It's applying what you're learning in ways that benefit others and glorify God. So I urge you, take one of those steps. Because it's so important that we stay connected to Jesus. Because as we do, our lives can be changed. Our lives can bear fruit. We can be more patient. We can be more loving. We can be more kind. And we're reminded that we don't do those things because it's only if we do them that God's going to be impressed with us. None of that stuff is true. We do that because we know that God has already given his whole life for us. He has given his son, Jesus, to die on the cross so that nothing would separate us from him. And it's because of that, because we've been adopted into the family of God, that we can live into that new identity, that we can connect to Christ on a day-to-day basis and be changed. We don't change because we have to. We change because we get to. And I believe one of the reasons you're here is because you want to. You want to. You're here, I believe, in part because you feel, like I feel, a sense of spiritual hunger. And you believe that God is calling your life to be more. Well, friends, I'm telling you from Scripture, this is how we do it. We get connected to Christ, and we let him and his power and his work change us from the inside out. So I want to ask you if you're thinking, okay, in this next little bit, I'm going to take some steps, at least one, to grow in my walk with God, to be connected to Christ more than I am. You stick up your hand. I'm going to apply at least one thing so that I can grow in my faith. All right. Good stuff. I also need to ask the question, if you've never yet started a relationship with Jesus, had that first thing of saying, Jesus, I recognize that you died for me. You love me that much because you wanted me to know you. You wanted me to have a relationship with God. And I recognize this morning that I need you. I need you in my life. And you just want to take that first step of faith. You just stick up your hand. Yeah. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you're making our congregation thirsty, that we're longing for you, that we want our lives to go deeper in faith, that we want to get to know you better. We thank you for your promise that as you remain in me and I in you, that you will bear much fruit, because God, we want our lives to bear fruit. We want to know, we want to have more peace, more love, more patience, more kindness, more goodness, more gentleness, more faithfulness, and more self-control. Thank you, God, that as we connect with you and stay connected, we can increasingly see that kind of fruit in our life. God, I want to pray for the connection groups that are going to be starting in the next week. Lord, I pray for those leaders that you would fill them with love for the people that are in their group. God, I pray for whoever in the congregation right now might be just wondering about whether or not to take that first big scary step. God, I pray that you would give the courage and the strength needed to reach out to another believer and to let somebody else into their life even just a little bit. Because God, I know that you love us enough. You love us enough to transform us, to renew our minds, so that we don't need to just get squashed into the patterns of the world around us. So Lord, bless us as we entrust more of our lives to you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.